Welcome to Abound in Hope, a podcast from Imprint Church. Our goal is to help you apply the hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ to everyday life. Well, hey, Imprint Church, welcome back to Abound in Hope. I'm Rex Gorman. I'm sitting here with...
Hey, I'm Tom McGregor.
And...
Suzanne Hagelin.
And I'm Darren Larson.
Yeah, and I'm just disposed of gum in a creative way.
And that's the first thing you hear on this podcast.
I don't know. I'll probably delete it. Sorry, I'm brain dead right now. We'll keep going. But we've been chatting through what we have called our eight words of health. In some places, our vital signs. In other places, measures of church health, whatever you want to call them. But we have eight different things that we say should be qualities of a healthy church. Can anybody name the eight right now? Without
Jesus, Bible, worship, unity, prayer, generosity, witness. And love.
Love.
Yeah, nailed it. Yeah. We added love recently, so I understand you got the cadence there down. But we've kind of talked through all of these over the past several weeks, a couple months, actually. And so we'd encourage you to go back, revisit these, see why we think that these are a part of a healthy church. Another thing I want to say is that this one's in a category of some of these that we've actually done a couple podcasts on witness in the past. We talked about winsomeness, and we talked about boldness. What was it? Was boldness and winsomeness?
It was, yeah. Yeah. We hit both.
And so we kind of talked through two different facets of witness, but this is more, okay, similarly, if you want to learn more about that, you can go back to those. This is going to be more like, what does this look like in the context of a local church, and why do we think this is a sign of health there? So I guess I'll kick this off the same way we have all of these. When you and the elders were talking through, we want these to be things that Imprint Church is kind of known for, is like healthy signs. We know that we are a healthy church if this is one of the signs. Why was witness picked as one of those?
Yeah, to answer that briefly, I think the church as a general part of the mission of God is an expression of the mission of God. The church is, they are called to be a witness to the gospel, to the witness to the saving grace of Jesus for all people, for all time. And that is, on one hand, a really sign of a healthy church, but you can't just make it about the organization, the church, as being a witness. Even if you call the church the people, which it is, it's not the building, you can't say in general we are called to be a witness. There is a corporate witness where we get together. We see that in Acts 2 and Acts 4 and all that, where the church gathers and they're sharing.
And they bear witness.
They're bearing witness to the grace of God. But we actually said in order to have a healthy church, we had to have people who were manifesting a witness to their people around them, to their communities, like by verbally saying and proclaiming what the gospel of Jesus Christ is. And so one of the things we thought of was like, yeah, everyone knows the church should be a witness to the gospel. That's great. When you come on Sundays, you're going to experience, you're going to hear the gospel, you're going to sing the gospel, you're going to, Rex gets good music stuck in your head, good theology stuck in your head. But ultimately we said at, you know, a real personal level, every disciple of Jesus is also called to be a witness, one who proclaims the gospel to other people in an explicit way. Because it's easy to talk about God generally. It's easy to talk about good works. It's easy to talk about church things and whatever else. But there is a calling that we have as disciples to proclaim what is the good news of Jesus Christ. That's it. It's both and. It's not either or, by the way. It's both and. It's not just...
Yeah, an individual witness is only bolstered by a corporate witness.
That's right.
Witness.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
And that experience in the corporate body is a witness to a person that this is real.
Yeah.
I think there's a more basic level, too, as far as witness goes, because in 1 John 5, it says, "The one who believes in the Son of God has this testimony within himself."
Nice.
And the next verse, it says, "This is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son." So the fact that we believe, we have this testimony within ourselves, because the Holy Spirit, who has sealed us, is also bearing witness to who Jesus is. And so our testimony, our witness, springs from that faith that's in us. It's one of the demonstrations of our faith.
Yeah.
Well, and as a demonstration, witness is a sign of church health.
Yes.
Because, and by witness, we mean a good, positive witness, an accurate witness.
Yes.
But if the gospel is good news, then you can't help but talk about it.
Yeah.
And if we are living the truth of the gospel out, being gracious with one another, loving one another, welcoming one another in Christ's name, that is a witness to its reality and a really healthy life and lifestyle and shared life together.
a pithy saying is you share about what you care about, right? I mean, yeah. We do that with everything from restaurants to movies we see to books we read. We talk about these things. And if there's been something that's actually kind of, wow, that lasagna changed my life, you know, we go tell someone about the lasagna because it's life changing.
Tell me about the lasagna there.
Well, I love how Suzanne just read that verse because it reminds me as soon as we're saved, we're given the witness. We're given that internal testimony. How was it written in that verse?
It says, the one who believes in the Son of God has this testimony
within
himself.
The one who believes immediately has the testimony
within himself. It kind of lines up with Acts 1:8, where Jesus was saying, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you, and you will be my witnesses.
Yes.
This is the witness.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. That's fascinating because it doesn't say, and then go witness. It says, then you will be my witnesses.
You will be my witnesses.
And then, you know, Paul talks about that later in 2 Corinthians 5. He talks about us being ambassadors for Christ and ministers of reconciliation. Like, that's just what we carry. And that happens, as you said, in word and in deed. We have to be a good witness in both of those ways. Mm-hmm. So
even as Jesus was preparing to leave the disciples behind in John 20 or 21, he's like, you know, as the Father has sent me, I'm sending you.
Yeah.
Like that, from that moment 2,000 years ago, the church has been given a calling by Jesus himself to go out and bear witness to him, like as the Lord had sent God. As God has sent Jesus into the world, so he sends us into the world. So,
And when we are sharing our witness, our faith, our word, when we're sharing testimony of the hope within us, we're not doing that without him. One of the things, so like the disciples, the apostles were saying, we are witnesses, and they were talking about Jesus' death and resurrection. But us, we can't say, I saw him die and I saw him rise from the dead.
No.
But we're witnesses because of the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
And he said in Acts 5:32, this is Peter talking, we are witnesses of these things, referring to what I just said. Mm-hmm. And so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. Mm. So I don't know about you guys, but there have been times when I have felt disappointed in my personal testimony, like I don't have much to say. But the fact is, it's the Holy Spirit who has something to say, and I'm cooperating with him because I know it's true.
It's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, yeah, this makes sense. I think, again, this is why we're left as witness. This is why Jesus didn't just take us with him or bring new creation down immediately. It's like, no, he's commissioned the church. He's given us a vocation, and that vocation is to bear witness to him and to live as salt and light. So
back to your question on why this is a mark of a healthy church is because it wouldn't be a church without
that's
this.
Right.
Amen. It's who we are.
Amen.
It's
wouldn't. Exactly. Are. Yeah. Like, that's we are.
At
we
a
are
fundamental level.
Yep. You guys have talked often about us being what's the phrase you use, like kingdom outposts, basically. Mm-hmm. We are kind of the overlap between the ages or whatever you want to call it. You know, already not yet, all that kind of thing. But we're now in exile. We're wandering. But we have the opportunity as churches to be kingdom outposts to, you know, live the new creation life now and bear witness to the hope that we have. It's pretty cool stuff. But that's you're right. That's very much what makes us a church. It's weird. Some of these vital signs, some of these markers of health has been like, well, because if we didn't do this, we're not a church. So this is sort of one of those. Yeah. So with that in mind, I'll move on to kind of our next thing. Yeah. What happens if this gets ignored? What happens if witness is ignored in a local church?
It dies.
Well, yes, first of all, yeah, that makes sense.
If
it only lasts
God
a little while.
reproducing people through the proclamation of the gospel, the regeneration of people and incorporation into his body, then that church shrinks and shrivels up and dies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, becomes a human structure, a social construct.
Yeah.
1 John 5:12 says, the one who has the Son has life. The one who does not have the Son of God does not have life. So without that testimony, we're basically whitewashed tombs.
Mm-hmm. Oof.
Yeah. Let me qualify though.
Okay.
And I agree with what you just said. We are probably not broadcasting to a little tiny country church in the middle of nowhere with a population of 100, but there are faithful churches, you know, that
absolutely.
Like, you know, the town might be dying. And so the church might be dying with it. That's distinct from what we're talking about.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
It's not about.
Yeah, it's not the
social structure.
The myth of,
it's about the testimony being that faith within us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, healthy churches are ones that are not just growing because of the show, right? There's a And because we've said before, I think even on this podcast, you know, unhealthy things also grow. You know, Tom Bergen's famous for saying like cancer grows, and it's pretty unhealthy, right? And so the churches that are growing are not necessarily the ones that are the most healthy. The ones that are most healthy are the ones that are like a ground swelling of people who are wanting to tell others about Jesus and what Jesus has done in their lives, you know, like witness to the goodness of God in their lives. Like that is, to me, one of the most powerful things that Christians can do is share my testimony, the word of their testimony, right? This is what we did a whole series on for a year and a half or something, is that when people just share, this is what the Lord has done in me. And then people find that compelling. People who have that Me Too moment. I want to know what that's like. And I want to know how you experience the grace of God and like, what does that look like? And they end up doing things like crazy, bringing friends to groups and bringing friends to church and like it overflows into something. And so those are the ground swelling, beautiful things that happen in healthy churches that I want to see, that I think is beautiful. Yep. So I think it's Acts 4 where it says like, we cannot help but speak about the things that
what are we supposed to do?
What are we supposed to do? Yeah. Is that Peter says that?
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
Question. It's more likely that this idea of being ignored would have to do with diminishing the value of someone's witness or the witness of the church. Mm-hmm. So my question is, how does that happen?
Professionalism. It is the staff or the, you know, whoever the elites within the organization are. It is their job to be a witness. And maybe the best I can do is bring somebody to church. But I'm not good at that, so I just kind of don't do it.
And I think that comes, sometimes that can be like, I'm going to let the professionals handle it. Sometimes that can be a fear, oh, I'm going to do this wrong. And that's when we conceive of sharing the gospel as a very intellectual exercise in which I have to persuade somebody with the right facts and what's going on.
And in
reality, it's the best way I can think of is, think of like Nathaniel in John 1, where, you know, basically he's Philip. Is it Philip and Nathaniel? Is that Andrew and Nathaniel? I can't remember. I should figure that out. But Philip, there you go. Philip and Nathaniel, pull it up. He just says, "Hey, come and see."
He says,
"Hey, come see what I'm seeing." So I think we can do the same thing. We can say, like, "Hey, this is what I have experienced. This is what Jesus has done in my life. Would you like him?"
Yeah,
I think that's a beautiful witness to the gospel. It doesn't have to be an intellectual exercise. Like, well, first of all, I have to prove that, you know, the resurrection is intellectually plausible, and that God exists. And I got to go. So we got to talk about you know, young earth and old earth and all that. So I think it can just be overwhelming. And sometimes when we talk about sharing the gospel, that is like presuppositional apologetics is what comes into our heads, where it's like, I have to have all my facts lined out. I have to be able to defeat arguments. And in reality, I don't think that's the best way at all. I think it's, you know.
1 in 10,000 people need that. Other portion need to know you really love them and care about them, and that so does Jesus. And you really believe that.
Dude, my first 2 years of being a Christian were my most evangelistic in my life, I would say. And part of that reason is because I knew and felt that I was saved from my sin, and I wanted to tell other people about it. The best Christian, I knew nothing. Like, you could have told me that Christians drank red Kool-Aid and, you know, like, I don't know, whatever. I'm going to say something wrong. And I would have been like, yeah, that's what Christians do. Let's do this thing, you know, because I'd been so transformed by the power of the Spirit. Like Suzanne just said this a second ago, like the Lord had transformed my life. And I was like, so friends, the best Christians, the best evangelists are the ones who are new Christians, the ones who have just experienced Jesus's grace. They don't know anything. They don't know all the details about how the eschaton's going to work out, or how, you know, like, what is it? What is the Trinity or anything like that? Like, they're probably full on modalists or something. and they're like telling people, yeah, but still. And then
I don't remember what modalists are. I knew that one.
That's a different podcast.
Yeah, we'll get that one later. Let's not get into it.
But dude, I mean, the Lord uses the most random of
no.
This is an actual heresy that got negated at
Nicaea.
Right, but I mean, never mind.
Modalism is basically like God changed forms. Anyway,
there's different modes.
There's different modes.
God
reveals himself in different modes, and that's not what the Trinity is. Anyway, back to this podcast.
Or
what
were you saying? Earlier than third.
So, my point being, which I just totally derailed that from saying that, I guess, but my point being is that people who don't know the most can still be the best of the people witness.
I think another thing that can derail someone's sense of witness, it doesn't necessarily quench their witness, but that's kind of like legalism. If we get really discouraged, if we don't feel like we have victory or we feel insecure, we can stop ourselves from talking about the hope that's within us, which I love that scripture, by the way, the hope of glory, Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Because not in a way that's linked to like salvation or status or identity, but
just
because
feeling inferior.
We've forgotten the gospel.
Yes. Yeah.
We've forgotten what the gospel actually is. We don't believe in grace for ourselves. Mm-hmm. And so if we don't believe in grace for ourselves, how are
we
going to
share
it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if God loves me. I'm pretty sure he loves you, though. Would be a weird way to start.
That really would.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. No, I do think, if this is ignored, churches, you know, they eventually die, but I think they become very insular. I think even not in a selfish way, but they can become very insular, very self-focused, where it's this becomes, how can I, you know, live better? How can I work on myself? And it takes it out of the realm of this is good news to share versus this is a tool in my tool belt where I can.
Which, by the way, if you perpetuate that for a generation, it turns into us versus them.
It does.
So you think about church in general, like if you've ever been part of a church that is a holy huddle, it's because a generation went by where there was not much evangelism and it became everyone's out to get me outside these doors. Man. And I've just seen it happen.
I'll tell you what, like a little bit of evangelistic vigor goes a long way, because what happens is when new believers join a community, what's going to happen is that more new believers are going to join a community, because it's going to perpetuate that excitement in people who are lost. But it's also going to remind people who've been Christians a long time, like, oh my gosh, like, this is real. Like this is a powerful thing that happens. So, so with that said, how can churches, if we don't want to ignore this, how can churches lean into this aspect of health? I understand, you know, we said at the very beginning, this is not just a corporate thing. This is also an individual thing, but how can we corporately push people to lean into this individually and thus create like a culture of witness at a church?
I've found that, praying about it is the best place to start.
Yeah.
Talking to God and saying, you know what, actually I'm not good at this at all. Not even not good. I don't do it. And, I probably should want to, but I don't. And so would you help me want to? And
that's great.
And then maybe would you give me an opportunity and would you show up and help me out, because I'm kind of terrified and I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
That'd be a good conversation to have with God. And you will be surprised.
Great. Yeah.
I have another magic bullet for you, I think, for witness. And I think it's simple as spending time with Jesus, like, and being compelled by him personally. I think there's something about that that is so genuine in new Christians, you know, like you're actually experiencing the presence of God for the first time. Like if we really believe he's a living and active God, alive and active in our world, and we spend time with him, we experience his presence with us, we cannot help but like talk about what that has done for us, you know? Like I'm a Larson family evangelist, right? Because I spend time with my family. And if you guys hang out with me, I tell stories of my family. You know,
so
I tell stories.
Are you adopting? Do we all join though?
I mean, they're a pretty good family. So we're pretty good. I mean, we've got our issues, but you know, we love each other. And, but I they're amazing. And I tell them because they're my favorites. And it's because I spend time with them, you know, my favorite people to spend time with. And so like, along with Tom's comment and exhortation to pray for this, even to pray for the desire for it, I'd also say spend time with Jesus and let him minister to your own heart so that you become a person that just starts to share, man, this is what the Lord did in me this recently. Those conversations are hard. I just be honest, it sounds really pretty, but I mean, I spend time with Jesus and a lot of times I won't witness it either, but I think there's a piece of it when I can finally say something to someone else when I've been like, oh, the Lord met me here or corrected me here or, you know, gave me some peace in the midst of a really difficult circumstance. Funny enough, that's probably the places where I've witnessed the most recently where the Lord helped me through something difficult.
So I was looking at this question more as, you know, the church rather than on an individual level. But in Colossians 1, 27 to 28, Paul says, God wanted to make known among the Gentiles the glorious wealth of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, which I referred to. Mm-hmm. We proclaim him warning and teaching everyone with all wisdom so that we may present everyone mature in Christ. And that kind of lines up with the Great Commission, which is something that we're going through Matthew, we're saying that together as a body at the end of each service.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I think that a church that wants to lean into this is teaching about the hope of glory, which is Christ in you, and sharing the idea that we all share in this Great Commission. And sometimes it's worth asking the question. I mean, like, I know people who just think, I'm not good at this, so other people who are better at it can take care of it. But really what we should be asking is, as we're growing in maturity in Christ, how am I discipling? And what's my part? And if I'm not there yet, to say, Lord, would you give me a tender heart towards that?
That's good.
Show me, what would you expect of me, whether I have strengths or not? I mean, was it Timothy that Paul said, do the work of an evangelist?
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
Because I'm assuming it didn't come easily to him. So
to your point, Suzanne, like, you think about the early church when the apostles launched the, you know, as the Father sent me, so I send you, they go out. I bet you they didn't argue about who had the gift of evangelism, right? They didn't say, well, Peter, that guy's our mouthpiece. Right. I bet you Andrew wasn't sitting back saying, I don't have to say anything. I mean, the church exploded because these guys went out and they didn't say, well, I'm not gifted in that. They just went out and shared, you know? And so to your point there, I mean, I fight that sometimes too, because I actually don't think I have the gift that some people do of evangelism. And how that plays out is that you see like fruit from that a lot of times from people's lives. And I'm always like, Lord, I don't see all the fruit. The last time I can remember actually witnessing to the grace of Jesus, someone who'd never heard it before and talked about the cross and all the things, the guy like totally rejected me and walked away. And I was like,
you played golf?
Failure. Yeah. It was like last year. And I think I told that in a sermon one time and I thought the conversation was going awesome, you know? And I get done, the guy's like, look, friend, I'm just being kind to you. I'm never going to come to your church. And like, I don't do this well, you know, but that was success, by the way.
Absolutely.
That's the fruit is not someone becoming a Christian. The fruit is actually just being willing to say,
I think that conversation about the gift of evangelism in the context of witness has been helpful for me in talking about what we're actually talking about.
What do you mean?
So what are we actually talking about when we talk about witness? And some people definitely have, I mean, the Bible says there are people who have been gifted with the gift of evangelism. This is not Bible. This is something that's been helpful for me. But I think in my mind, I've been able to differentiate between what evangelism is versus what witness is. Evangelism is a verbal proclamation of the gospel with a call to respond. It's always in word. It's always the gospel, and it's contextualized. I mean, you can see this all over the New Testament, and it always includes a call to respond. Witness, on the other hand, sometimes includes a proclamation of the gospel. Stephen, no call to respond.
Right.
He's just witnessing. So sometimes it's...
He didn't have a chance, by the way.
Well, fair enough. He got cut off. Brutal. But sometimes it's in word. A lot of times it's in deed. Now, evangelism always requires words. People cannot fill in the blanks with the gospel. No. This is not something anybody's going to think up on their own.
Right.
But I think the witness of the church corporately in our shared life together... the witness of our lives to our neighbors and the ways that we are distinct, but in a way that's comprehensible. I think all of these things, in my mind, again, these are not biblical categories, I don't think. I haven't done the study on it to like trace it all down. But I think some people really do have the gift of evangelism. It doesn't mean you're not a witness and you can't engage.
Yes.
And there is something rad about inviting somebody to church.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And be like, let's grab lunch and talk about it afterwards.
Because your definition of witness, it could be greater than just actually the verbal, it has to lead to a verbal proclamation.
At some point. But,
but like, that's the pithy saying of like the, you know, good works leads to goodwill, which leads to
sharing. Oh, I thought you were going to do the other one.
Oh, preach the gospel.
Don't
all
even
times.
Say it. Yeah. So no, bad.
You should clarify that though, because that was a big commotion of words.
Yeah. There's an old saying that is, who's it attributed to?
St. Francis.
It's St. Francis, and it's like, preach the gospel at all times, use words if necessary.
Yeah.
Which he totally didn't say, first of all.
No, he didn't say.
Yeah.
But, and I think Stanley Hauerwas says, that's ridiculous. Words are all that was necessary. It's as incomprehensible as saying, feed the poor when necessary, use food.
Yeah. That's so good.
That's so good.
But to your point, witness can go back to the idea of the good works that we do leads to the goodwill that sometimes actually opens the door to sharing the good news to the people. But it always has to get to that witnessing part of sharing that actual good news of Jesus, you know?
Yeah. Yep. I'll say one other thing. I think corporately as a church, rehearse the story of the gospel and talk about that a lot. I think, you know, we've added to our response liturgy, and I guess it was like 3 years ago or something like that, talking about, you know, what it says in scripture, like if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. Mm-hmm. Like very, very practically, very rhythmically, very much repeating like, hey, this is like how you respond to the gospel. And then the other part of that is just going to Jesus in scripture, you know, point showing people like, hey, you know, whether we are in Samuel, whether we are in Hebrews, whether we're in Ephesians, whether we're in Matthew or Genesis or whatever, taking that to the gospel and preaching, which you guys do, I think that's important. Mm-hmm. I think, again, putting that structure up of people like understanding like, wait a minute, okay, this good news of Jesus is all of this, you know, opening scripture and like getting a runway there. I think building that structure in people's heads through good biblical theology is a way actually of cultivating a culture of witness. So long as you connect the dots for people, I think that's really important. Mm-hmm.
Following up on that, that it might be helpful to think of just a couple of points that have made that Jesus being a part of my life and that faith being central in my life, how that's impacted my life.
Do you mean to always be ready to give an answer?
I have that scripture right here.
Maybe you should read it.
Let's see, where is that?
She was trying to set herself up for the...
No, I wasn't.
Nice.
It was about salt, about being salty.
It worked well. Mm-hmm.
To
it
me, the salty is that's about truth, and it's about the testimony of the truth. Colossians 4, 5, and 6, act wisely toward outsiders, making the most of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you should answer each person. Mm-hmm. That is, of course, a little more than what I was trying to say, but I definitely am glad that that was brought out.
I was picking up what you're throwing down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You guys speak each other's language.
I mean, I can say to someone can deny that there's evidence that Jesus rose from the dead, but I can say to them, I am a witness that Jesus is alive. He has made himself known to me, and I'm not lying.
Mm-hmm. Well, what's rad about you, Suzanne, is that I think you actually believe that it's the kindness of God that leads people to repentance.
I do.
And so that comes through instead of being judgmental, being self-righteous, telling people how they ought to think and behave and get their act together before they meet Jesus. I think that you lead with that kind of salt that you just talked about.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah.
So
thank you.
Explain why that would be bad. I agree with you that would be bad, but explain why that would not be the best way to share.
Well, because you're not sharing the gospel.
Okay, exactly. Yeah.
You know, if you're trying to tell people what they should believe, how they should vote, how they should live their life, and how they should just generally get their act together and stop being such a terrible person, then you don't believe in grace. Well, that's not true. I'm overspeaking. But your words indicate that you don't believe in grace and that you don't believe that God's kindness is actually what leads people into relationship with him and to turn from those things. It's his judgmental, like, stormy... You know, whatever.
Yeah, the whatever.
It's misunderstanding the character of God, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we've been kind of touching, we jumped ahead a little bit about suggestions on living out this vital sign as a personal level, just as part, because this is so intertwined with our corporate identity mm-hmm. as well. So let me ask this, where have we seen this sign? Where have we seen witness played out at Imprint Church? Chance to brag on some people.
Yeah. I'll talk about one person. I could talk about more, but one person that I just spent a little bit of time with, started coming to Imprint maybe a year ago, pretty newish, maybe raised, in the church, but not necessarily had a relationship with Jesus, and now definitely does, and started bringing people and started sharing what they know. And it's real simple and real straightforward and pretty true. And it's pretty awesome to see them diving in, they're growing, but also people are coming along with them and getting into contact with God, with his word, with his people. And I think it's just so simple. Hey, this is what's happened to me. You want to come to this place where it's happening with other people? And here's the person that's making it happen. His name is Jesus. He's awesome. That's about all I know. What do you think?
Yeah. You know?
I mean, like any of us could really do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There's something similar. I'm wondering if we're thinking about the same person, but in a similar vein, there's someone who, at Imprint, who's been baptized in the past year.
Nope.
And,
different person.
Okay. Someone's been baptized in the past year and all they have done is just bring new people along mm-hmm. and, they've just brought people, you know, from their context along, be like, hey, this thing I experienced, you should come check it out. Or, hey, you know, this Jesus guy, like, he's real and we talk about him a lot here. You should come check him out. It's been really cool to see, though, basically for the first several, probably the first month or two that this guy was coming, every time he came, there was another person with him.
Yeah, yeah.
And these people have all stuck around.
I know who you're talking about.
It's really encouraging to see, but it's the same kind of thing. It's like, oh, like this Jesus guy is who he says he is. Mm-hmm. Come and see him. Mm-hmm. And it's worked. So, yeah.
I know of a story. I was in a meeting yesterday, a pastoral meeting with someone who's new to our church, only been about 2 months so far. And she is raised in the church, but had some pretty bad experiences mm-hmm. there and kind of rejected her faith and walked away and felt mm-hmm. like, ironically, during the woe is me sermon, that God was calling her back to wow. him again. And so I sat in my office yesterday with her and prayed with her, and she just like wanted to make a commitment to come back to Jesus again. Yeah. It was a really good moment. I was only a small part of that. Mm-hmm. The biggest part of that was the gal who invited her, mm-hmm. who worked with her and said, man, I see that your life is hard right now. And I've been part of this community that's been really great. Jesus has been doing this in my life and you should check it out. And so it became a really simple act of witness for her. She may not have shared the whole gospel, but yeah. I think in that process, you forget how much of sharing, being a witness is the process that comes along.
Yeah.
Like you can't give the whole thing. I mean, you're not going to explain modalism the first time. Sorry, I had to bring it all the way back again. I had to bring it back.
Yeah.
But there's pieces, bits and pieces along the way.
I planted Apollos water and all that. Yeah.
yeah, totally. Yep. Anyway, that was a really cool moment for me. That was literally this week where mm-hmm. I watched someone's act of witness and witnessing and bringing someone into the community of Christ to actually lead to someone's recommitment to mm-hmm. Jesus.
Mm-hmm. I think, too, that as a church, people do understand the value and importance of praying for the lost. And I think that just as a congregation, we've chosen to love people, chosen to care about the way their life is, the way things are in the world. And like you were saying, Tom, it's not that we're going out and telling them what's wrong with them, but that we have compassion for the suffering that is there. So anyway, I would say that we do a good job of praying for the lost.
That's
and
great.
Praying for opportunities for somebody, mm-hmm. you know.
I've got another one.
Yeah.
Because they're part of that prayer crew. But there's a couple in our community that has a ministry that's open to anybody. They can be found online. And people show up to get some help in their relationship. And they're always going to talk to them about Jesus and mm-hmm. always help them move towards him if
Amen.
Possible. And I know they're faithful in that. And that's just another example of using the context and the gifts you have. I mean, some of us are pretty isolated in a Christian ghetto. No offense to us, but You know, some of us are stay-at-home moms and the only people we know are Christians. Some of us are pastors, and like, it takes a lot of effort to get outside of that circle.
Yeah.
But you can't witness if you're not.
Yeah.
Years ago, I there was a family member who was not walking with the Lord, didn't know the Lord. And I was very, very grieved and burdened for this person and prayed fervently. And so I started praying, Lord, I can't reach this person. Will you send someone who can? And will you give me opportunities to reach someone that someone else is praying for? I mean, there may be someone that is just walking into your path who has a whole community of people praying that somebody like you would talk to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
It is really cool.
That's great.
Yeah. Well, I'll throw out one. I know we already talked about a bunch of suggestions. I'll let me out as at a personal level. One thing that this sounds strange. It just came to mind though. Like, we're to bear witness, obviously, to what Jesus has done, and we're to do that and carry that to everybody. But I think one thing that comes to mind for me is making that really normal in your life, even if you're not, you know, talking to a coworker or whatever. I think it's really easy for us to get into that Christian bubble, mm-hmm. and we just leave a lot of things assumed and unsaid. Mm-hmm. Not that we don't believe them, but I think it's really important that we are super Jesus-y people and like are not, it's not awkward for us to talk about what God has done and what God is doing and what Jesus is doing and how we're seeing prayers answered and that kind of thing. So I think bearing witness is not just going to be for the lost. I think it's also going to be for each other though. I think it's for the encouragement of each other. So I think that's a small little bit, but all that being said, like, talk about Jesus a lot, talk about him all the time. Give him praise and glory and honor for what he's doing in your life. Not just with your neighbors, who don't know him, not just with coworkers who don't know him, but the person who you're worshiping next to or the person in your small group. Like, talk about where you see God working, and it'll be easier to talk about where you see God working all the time. So anyway, practice anyway.
So can I bring in, it might feel like a tangent, but it's an Old Testament
thing. You love
thing.
Tangents.
I do. And you can delete it if I shouldn't be saying this. I just want to point out that when God wrote with his finger on two tablets, the 10 words, the 10 commandments, that was known as the testimony. It was the testimony, and it was put in the ark of the testimony, and it was kept in the tabernacle of the testimony. And that this, you know, when in Ezekiel, God is saying, I'm going to write my law on your hearts, it was referring to that picture. And when Jesus said that he was the fulfillment of the law, he's the one that fulfilled the 10 words, fulfilled the law. And that testimony that he took within himself, fulfilled within himself. I don't know if I'm connecting the dots here, but because of that, having Christ in us, the hope of glory, we also have the fulfillment of those 10 words. Hmm. Does that make sense? Am I off on that? Or does that sound?
What are the implications of that?
The implications are that we're growing more like Christ as we follow him, mm-hmm. right? Would you agree?
Yeah. I just was curious where you were driving.
Oh, mm-hmm. I'm just excited.
Yeah, I can tell.
Love it.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah. All right. Well, Imprint Church, if you have questions about this, if you have questions for us or suggestions, or you want to brag on what God's doing through you or in your community, in your family, whatever, send an email to podcast@imprintchurch.org, and we'll be back in a few weeks with our final of the 8 words. And we'll see you then. Thanks for listening. For more information and resources from Imprint Church, you can download our app or head to imprintchurch.org.